Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
1025 The Game.
Richardson reaches back for it. Doing so against the big guy, Oleksiak, and now a shot deflected away to the left side. Follow-up shot of the score, and the Predators tally on the power play. Victor Arvidsson with the goal at 3:53.
All mayhem. It broke loose, and bodies were everywhere, and then Arvidsson picked up the loose change off to the side and found a way to get it in. It
comes back into the Nashville end. Roman Josi down the right wing side. They try to get around Johns. Fed in front of the score. Victor Arvidsson took a quick feed back. Philip Forsberg gave it to him. 2-0 Predators.
How about the little dingle dangle from Philip Forsberg? The hands on Forsberg on showcase there, just dangling around Johns, finding the backhand pass over to Arvidsson.
I thought today was a real committed effort by our team, and I really like our mindset. We came in, I think, to a man. There was commitment on both sides of the puck, and nobody dipped their toe in the water, you know, which was nice. I think it was a pretty solid team effort, and we had some positives, obviously, and some negatives in the game. But the number one thing was that, where is our mentality? Where was it going to be, and where's our commitment level going to be? And it was good today.
It was just an exhibition game, but I think you have to feel pretty good if you're a Nashville Predators fan today after watching the team dismantle the Dallas Stars yesterday. 2-0, a win in Edmonton inside the bubble. Welcome into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson. Joe, how are we doing, my man?
Got some takes. Got some takes today. I thought Pete and Hal sounded good there. I thought Willie and C-Mace, Karen Lindsay, all the broadcasters handled this totally different situation. I was like, I'm just watching a hockey game.
Yeah, you really couldn't tell a difference.
Yeah. And,
which is good.
And then the Preds looked like a good hockey team.
Yes, they did. And we're going to get into a lot of aspects of the Preds here in this hour. 615-737-1025. If you've got reaction from yesterday's game from the Dallas Stars, we'll take your calls and your text messages at 615-737-1025. I thought they looked really solid from start to finish. Now, it wasn't perfect. I mean, from an execution standpoint, I still think there's a little bit of work to do there because there were some chances that they had and some plays available to them that they did not capitalize on. But in terms of what your expectations are heading into an exhibition game, especially it being your first game and 4.5 months, I thought it went about as well as they could have possibly hoped for yesterday.
Yeah, I think on some of the finesse side, we've been talking about the power play. I really liked some of the things on the power play. Just even, you have a little opening, Matt Duchene, attack. You don't have to, let's all set up and make sure we can pass it around. And no, it's like, hey, you got an opening. You smash it at the net. You create some chaos and you get a goal out of it. You get a little Johansson jump screen,
yeah,
a la Arvidsson with Arvidsson shooting. I thought the power play just looked, especially the first two, looked a lot better. But then you also have some of the grit playoff stuff you wanted to have. What, 23 blocks? Everybody got it. Now, it's also like, okay, let's
don't get hurt now.
Yeah, let's not get hurt here. But they were really, I think, solid in front of both goaltenders, who, by the way, were both really good. I mean, Pekka-Rinne got, to me, way more significant work than Saros because the Stars played a lot better and probably outplayed the Predators for more of the second half of the game than the first half. But both of them were really good, and it's not bad to have two guys that you feel good about starting. It's just that you've got to pick one.
Exactly. And look, just the way things went yesterday, UC Saros gets the start. Like you said, wasn't really tested all that much. I think he had 12 shots against, and maybe one or two of them were of medium difficulty. I don't think he really had to make an extremely difficult save throughout it all, which is good. You don't want your goaltender out there just having to make save after save after save. That means you have the puck a lot and your defense is playing pretty well once they're in your zone. I got to give Pekka-Rinne a lot of credit because to mentally stay in there, come in and play extremely well after you know that Saros has just come in and hadn't allowed a single goal, the way he's played in training camp, the way he played, you know, back into the regular season, for Pekka to come in there and play the way that he did, number one, I think says a lot about him. But number two, if you're John Hines and the Predators, I'm not sure how much that changes or influences your decision at all. But it does make you feel good that, hey, you know, we have to move to Pekka-Rinne, assuming that Saros starts game one, which I'm still operating under that assumption. You feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I mean, he came right in and had, what, a couple, I would say, high-danger chances against him.
Immediately.
Like, right away. And he was really good. So, yeah, I can't – I mean, I think I asked John Hines, like, what didn't you like after the – you know, so it's like – because at one point during his press conference, he was like, you know, there's some things to work out. And, of course, you're never happy with everything. You don't think you were perfect. And like you said, there were some opportunities missed here and there, but – I thought all around you couldn't ask for a lot more. Getting, you know, Arvidsson, obviously you get a Philip Forsberg special in there to set up Arvidsson, and just you know, that's exactly how they want to play now when things really count Sunday and on.
Did Pekka-Rinne do anything on the game yesterday to influence your decision on whether or not he should start game one?
No, I don't think so. Again, like if you put those guys side by side, you'd say, you know, Rinne, I guess, had the better game because he had the better chances to turn away. But I've thought all along that it should be UC Saros, and I still think that. I think he gets first crack, and I think he should get first crack. And I think this is probably ideal. Now, again, I think mostly in training camp it was clear, and you know, he saw more of that top line than at least in the stuff we saw.
Oh yeah,
than Rinne did, which I don't think is a mistake. I think that's also kind of an indication. You know, he's 1A and Pekka's 1B or 1 and 2, however you want to list it. I thought he was definitely a little bit better there, but you can't feel much better right now about the combo than John Hines must feel after that game. I don't see how anything from yesterday makes you think differently, though. Makes you switch it around and say, ah. I mean, I guess I'm sure there's some Predators fans out there like, man, it is Pekka-Rinne, you know? Look at that guy. Big, tall, won a Vezina, 89 playoff games. I mean, I get the appeal.
Sure.
But again, if your goal here is that you're going to be in Edmonton for a long time and play a bunch of games and multiple series, then you're going to see him in there at some point.
Arizona also played last night, 4-1 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights in their exhibition game. And quite frankly, it just didn't look very good. I mean, I think at one point through like two periods, they had 11 shots or something like that. It just didn't go particularly well for Arizona last night. Now, having said that, just because the Predators played pretty well yesterday and the Arizona Coyotes did not, that doesn't mean much of anything to me about the, you know, what's going to happen in this series. But it is a good sign from a Predators standpoint of, you know, we've been talking for the last week about, hey, they've gone through training camp. There's a new opportunity for some of these guys. Saros has looked good during training camp. Now what is it going to look like against another opponent? And if it would have come out there and you would have just gotten your doors blown off, like 6-1 or something like that, everything we've been talking about for this past week, you don't flush it out the window, but I think the confidence there, you're like, okay, are we really making some progress here? Like, what's going on? I think if you're a player on that team after what happened yesterday, while realizing there's still some pretty significant room for improvement, I think you got to feel really good about where you're at and what you've been able to accomplish through this training camp session as they head into that series on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, of course, psychologically, the Preds playing really well and controlling this game and winning it, and then the Coyotes kind of stinking. Almost guarantees, like, Coyotes 5, Preds 2 on Sunday, you know?
Just the way the NHL works, man.
Whenever, you know, something like that, I always think back to that Johansson injury going to Anaheim. I think it was actually on the way to Anaheim, the Preds announced that, and you're like, I remember we were trying to, like, write in the airport and everything, and it was like, oh, my gosh, they're just going to go get killed in Anaheim. They are done. And
Yep. Then,
you know, we know what happened next. Psychology plays into this stuff. But psychology in terms of confidence, I think the Preds have to feel, just take away whoever you're playing, they've got to feel good about their game after yesterday, because I do think I just felt like in the defensive zone they were really, really solid. Now I think John Hines said also, hey, defended too much later in the game. You know, early it was they were really, really cycling in their zone, but in their offensive zone. But I just thought you didn't have the big gaps and issues and people out of position. It just felt very airtight for a lot of the game when they were in the defensive zone.
It did, and that's the thing. Like, even in the third period, I mean, Dallas had maybe one or two shifts where they spent a lot of time in the offensive zone, probably 30, 45 seconds at a time in the offensive zone, which is a long time in hockey. But they were never really threatening during that time. I mean, they had a look here or there, but most of the time the Predators – did a good job of keeping them to the outside, which is funny because that's basically what the Stars have been able to do to the Predators in recent memory. Now, the last three times they've played the Stars, they've shut them out.
Goose eggs.
Yeah, just goose eggs the whole time. But before that, I mean, the Predators were having some pretty significant issues of generating quality looks. I thought they got a lot of those yesterday. We're going to talk about some specific players here coming up in just a little bit. But I look at the goaltending yesterday. I think I feel really good about it based off that one game. Defensively, you know, we were talking about Josi and Ellis. We figured they'd pick back up where they left off. They did. I was impressed with Fabbro. I was watching him pretty intently yesterday. You know, he got walloped in the first period by Jason Dickinson, and Ryan Johansson took exception to that, which that's also good to see him engaged and ready to go. But Fabbro came back from that. I thought defended pretty well yesterday. Now, you do have to mention Dallas did not have Tyler Seguin, who is, in my opinion, by far their best player. So that certainly plays into it.
He was unfit.
He was unfit to play, which I tweeted. I also was unfit to play yesterday and have been for a long time.
A lot of us are right there with you, Tyler.
Yes. A lot of us fall into that category. But all in all, I thought a really good defensive effort yesterday. And the time on ice, and Adam Vingan from The Athletic pointed this out too, from a defenseman standpoint, it's a pretty clear competition between Tenorti, Weber, and Hamhuis for that, you know, 5-6 spot. Right now, I think Tenorti and Weber might have the edge over Hamhuis, just based on the way things went yesterday and the ice time.
Hamhuis did have a heck of a block shot.
He did.
He had a good little moment on the penalty kill in there. But, yeah, I agree. I think those guys probably looked a little bit better, maybe a little bit more mobile, you know. And, I mean, you also had the Ryan Ellis getting the cross-check on Corey Perry early, which
very
was
subtly
necessary. Yeah. Although I think Corey Perry flopped there, didn't he?
Oh, he does that sometimes.
Because I know that there were a lot of people tweeting that, like, yes, Ryan, get him. And I was like, I think Corey Perry anticipated that and totally crumbled hoping to get a penalty.
Yeah.
But, hey, whatever. You know, it looked good. You got a cross-check on him, and he went to the ice.
He did, which I'm sure made Predators fans feel really good. A good win yesterday for the Predators. What are some of the big takeaways we had from some of their forwards? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John, from your vantage point, how noticeable has Arvidsson's speed been throughout training camp and now through this game action here compared to what he was dealing with in the regular season?
Yeah, he's I hadn't had a chance to see the speed that he's played with in training camp and in today's game. You know, in January and February, he was fighting a little bit and coming back off the injury. But you can see how quick he is up the ice. And even in tight little small spaces, his forecheck, his hunting, his tracking, he closes time and space quick. And his puck recovery ability in 50-50 puck battles was there. So, you know, it's really nice to see him back and playing the way that he can play with the speed that makes him a real special player. You keep my hands on myself.
That was Predators head coach John Hines after the game yesterday. A big 2-0 win for the Preds against the Dallas Stars. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad. Joe, what a wonderful question that was, too. My goodness. Did you hear that question?
That was beautifully.
Beautifully formed.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Perfect diction.
We've talked about, for the last couple days, Arvidsson in training camp. For lack of a better way to describe it, looking like Victor Arvidsson. Like, he just looks like the guy that we've grown accustomed to watching. I thought yesterday was a perfect example of it. I mean, he was flying around out there. The two goals are what they are. Like, they speak for themselves. And neither one of the two goals really had anything to do with the speed that John Hines was talking about there. But he just looked like he was always involved in the play in some way, shape, or form. If they get Victor Arvidsson playing back at that level, that's going to be so big, especially for the series against Arizona, but for these playoffs as a whole. I thought yesterday, not only that line, which we'll get to here in a second, but he specifically was outstanding.
Yeah, he had another moment where he got behind everyone. I thought he drew a penalty, but they didn't call it, and that was early in the game. But, yeah, every time that line, not every time, but a lot of their shifts, you noticed them. They controlled the action, and he really stood out. And it was interesting to hear John Hines say it that way. Like, I hadn't seen this yet.
Yeah.
And that's true of anyone around here who's been following this team. It looked like a different Arvidsson all year, and now it looks like vintage Arvidsson from, you know, his mid-20s, like a year ago.
Yeah. He's now slightly older. He's like 26 or whatever he is now.
Yeah,
he's old in the NHL, yeah.
The good old days. No, you know, that makes a difference. And just, you know, obviously, the second goal is a ridiculous Forsberg moment, so Preds fans hope there are more of those ahead in this playoff, but... Yeah, Arvidsson, I think you have to start with him.
I do too, and to your point on Forsberg, I mean, number one, Yossi's play to get that puck up the ice was pretty outstanding, just to kind of navigate that puck through the traffic, through the neutral zone, and lead Forsberg that way. But, you know, and I asked Hines about this yesterday too, like, we've talked about Forsberg trying to play that power game and then the skill taking over at the end of it. I mean, that play is exactly what he's been talking about. I mean, Forsberg had to go get it, win the puck battle, kind of put his head down and create some separation, and then just those hands get to working, man. And then just a ridiculously skilled play. I mean, he passed that puck without looking behind the back and hit Arvidsson right on the tape. I mean, it was a great play.
Yeah. No, that was one of those, oh, Forsberg, filth Forsberg.
George Kittle loved it. He's been commenting all over social media about it.
That's right, his best friend, right, George Kittle?
Yeah. Nashville's greatest friendship, Philip Forsberg and George Kittle.
Adam Vingan wrote a story about that, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, he did, at The Athletic. Look at you. You're all right. You started the week off on a self-promotion kind of thing, and now you're in some ways still doing the self-promotion, but it's at the benefit of others.
Well, hey.
That's good.
By the way, yeah, read my story about Preds families and live.
See, I knew he'd get it in there.
Live chat today at 11 a.m., so come to theathletic.com. Live chat with me about whatever you want to chat about.
There we go. Very nice.
Any Preds, Titans, the Michael Jordan's inability to beat the Detroit Pistons in the playoffs, whatever you want.
What did you make of Ryan Johansson yesterday in the game against the Stars?
I thought he was good. I thought that, like, I wouldn't say, oh, that was just an overwhelming performance by Ryan Johansson, but I think that's what they want. I thought that he created opportunities. I thought he was physical. I thought he looked good in particular on the power play. There was one moment on the power play, I believe it was Yossi. It was a nice setup from Arvidsson, and Yossi at the point sent a one-timer, and Duchesne and Johansson, it was like one of you needs to be in there.
Yeah.
Because that's if you've got someone creating an interference, that's a great opportunity, and neither of them were. I mean, it's stuff like that where with both of those guys in some situations, you know, get to the hard areas. That was one of those situations. But overall, if that is how Ryan Johansson is going to play, and you mentioned getting a little chippy there, defending a teammate, being engaged in that way, I think he's going to produce, and I think that line is going to produce.
I knew that he was engaged from the start because he had two shot attempts in like the first 30 seconds. I mean, he had a one-timer right in front of the net, and then he cut right back to the net and shot it again. I was like, well, okay then. If he's shooting this early, he's ready to go, because we all know Predators fans, they love to knock Ryan Johansson for not shooting the puck enough. He had two shot attempts in like 30 seconds. I was like, all right, he's ready to go. Here we go. I thought he was good. Like you said, I didn't think – he did anything overly spectacular, even though I did think he had a couple of good looks, and he had a chance in real tight where I thought he probably should have pulled the trigger on, that he tried to drag it back out to the front, mm-hmm. and I think Arvidsson was there, which the way Arvidsson was going yesterday, not a bad idea. But those are things that'll come with time. I mean, Johansson's going to be a pass first guy all the time. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think he knows when it's really time to shoot. Most of the time, he'll take the shot. But I thought he was good yesterday. That line was really good. You know, I don't think they've reached their top level by any stretch of the imagination. But I thought in terms of what we saw in the regular season versus where the expectation level is for that line, I thought they got to the expectation level. Now, there have been many times where they meet and surpass that and they play at an elite level. I'm not going to say their level yesterday was elite. It was really good. It's certainly a great building block for Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson. And look, you play that way against Arizona, it's going to be tough for Arizona to hang in there. Just there's too much depth at that point from the Predators, I think, for Arizona to survive that.
Right, and then I thought there were some good moments for the second line as well. Granlund had a really nice wraparound opportunity early.
Yeah.
didn't finish it, but they had some moments, I thought. And then Rocco got it going. I thought later in the game, I was like looking at a flashback of last year's playoff. He had that little spin play. You know, they had some good moments. I thought overall it was a good day for their forwards. I'll give Colin Blackwell play of the game, trying to just obliterate Alexiak, who is, Colin Blackwell, 5'9", 190.
Yeah.
Jamie Alexiak, 6'7", 255. And, yeah. I mean, Blackwell just bounced off him. Ah. But, hey, I give him credit.
It was hilarious because he got back to the bench, and, like, you could literally see him mouthing the word, ow.
Yes, yes.
He's yep, that hurt.
Great job by Fox Sports Tennessee there.
Whoever's recording.
It's the feed for everyone.
For everyone,
right?
Yeah.
But great job. Great camera work there because, yeah, he sat there and was just like, ow.
You got to admire his attempt. And what did you make of, technically, when you look at the line rushes yesterday, Blackwell was in there ahead of Watson. Now, again, for those who missed it, yesterday, normally you're skating 12 forwards and 6 defensemen. Yesterday, they were allowed to put 13 forwards in and 7 defensemen in terms of, it's an exhibition game. You're trying to evaluate players, all that stuff. You're trying to get players up to speed. But technically, the way the lines went in the warm-up, Blackwell was in there over Austin Watson. Did you read anything into that?
I guess a little. I would think that whoever you go with first has the edge. It doesn't necessarily mean that's the case, but that's my first thought. So maybe Blackwell fits the Arizona series a little bit better. It's not like that's a super heavy team. Yeah, I guess I would think of Watson as, if you want to go heavier,
yeah,
you go Watson over Blackwell. Now, no Trennan, and you could go heavy with him and maybe be better off than going with Watson, but Blackwell, maybe he fits this series that's about to start Sunday a little bit better. We can see that he's going to be courageous.
Yes.
He made that clear.
Yes, he did. I hope he's feeling okay today. He came back in. Everything seemed like he was fine, but it was just a very funny. Like even Willie and Mace on the broadcast we were watching, they were just like, "Oh my god, Alexiak is so big. He's just trying to hit him, and he just bounces off it, reverberated. It was awesome." As far as the Duchesne line is concerned, one thing that stands out to me about those three guys specifically, Turris, Duchesne, Granlund. And I was looking for this a little bit yesterday. All three of them are very skilled at bringing the puck in the zone on the attack without having to dump it and go get it. And that was, how long have we been watching Predators hockey? And they get to the blue line and they just dump it in there and go get it. And look, there's a place in the game for that. Sometimes you have to do it. Forsberg in particular is outstanding at it. He's one of the best in the league at it. Duchesne, Turris, and Granlund, I think, are very skilled at not really having to do that. They can just break through and carry the puck into the zone. I still think there's room for improvement there. Granlund did it once, just great yesterday, and that led to his wraparound opportunity. I still think there's another level they can get to in terms of their controlled entries. And when they do that, I think you're going to see them set up some pretty good opportunities, because by doing that, you allow yourself to come in on the attack and be creative and kind of get some space on the ice. They did that well at times yesterday. I think there's probably still another step they can get to in that area.
Yeah, having momentum through the neutral zone it's really important, makes a huge difference, and obviously it's something on the other side. It's you know, the Preds, when they made their run, it was what they were doing in the neutral zone to slow teams down. I mean, as Peter Laviolette has said, you know, no one ever talks about the neutral zone, but it's an important part of the game. And, yeah, that line in particular, you're right. They've got the guys to the skill to make those – create those opportunities. I thought they had some good moments in that way. Deshane, you know, he's that's a guy I thought, especially on the power play, I liked some of what we saw from him too. And the power play units, what'd you think of those?
Well, I thought it was good. It was similar to kind of how they started the season. I mean, you had Deshane with Johansson and Forsberg out there, Arvidsson together with Yossi.
Yossi, Deshane, and Jofa.
Yeah, like it was right. That's basically how they started the season off, was with that unit. It looked different in terms of the way they set up. Arvidsson kind of being open for that one-timer on the opposite side is, I think, a smart move. Look, him being in front of the net, he can do it. You know, the jump screen that he's famous for.
Right.
He's probably not the guy you want in front of the net. I mean, he's a smaller guy. He gets pushed around sometimes.
Well, especially if you want to keep him healthy.
And he's got a great shot. Why not just let him use it? So I like the way they set up there. The other unit, I thought, I mean, there was a one-touch pass from Turris to Craig Smith from the right circle that was a fantastic play. I mean, Craig Smith missed on the shot a little bit, and Ben Bishop made a good save. But the way they were moving the puck yesterday on the power play, I thought was light years ahead of where they started the regular season moving the puck on the power play. So I was really encouraged, not just by the goal by Arvidsson on the power play, because that was honestly – it's kind of a broken play at that point. But when they were set up and moving it around, I thought they looked really good.
I agree. I still think that the broken play situation is an example of not being robotic, though, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just like, hey, here's a little opening. Take it. Rather than we must do the power play thing that we do. You know, I mean, I thought that was good, but I thought they did move it well. The second unit, I Yarncroke, I think there's some other options you could use there, but the first two in particular, I thought really looked good and a lot more like John Hines wants it to look.
When we come back, how much do we think that the Jofa line kind of pushed John Hines and the coaching staff to put them back together? We'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John, in your conversations with Philip, Victor, and Ryan Johansson during the pause, did they express a desire to be reunited? They were talking about how the chemistry feels like they never really left, but in your conversations with them and vice versa, did they express a desire to give it another shot when you came back to play?
Not necessarily that direct, Adam, in the sense that, you know, they've requested to play with one another. It was more, you know, really in the pause was trying to hit them each individually on where their game was at and how they can be better and how we can help them be better. And they've, you know, the difference is all three have come back highly motivated. You know, I think you can see really from the start of training camp, maybe not everyone has seen it, but, you know, we've kind of talked about it. And I think you saw again today that there is strong chemistry, but what makes the chemistry work between the three of them is they're mentally engaged. Their mindset is right. They're playing really well together. They're feeding off each other's energy and work ethic. And that's why, you know, in the past they've been a good line, and it's why it looks as though they're really want to be a productive group here starting on Sunday.
That was Predators head coach John Hines after the game against the Stars yesterday, talking about the Jofa line, who had a really good game yesterday, Joe. I thought they looked outstanding. And that's a good question by Adam Vingan of The Athletic there. You know, and Victor Arvidsson talked about it a little bit after the game yesterday. He's like, look, it's no secret we want to play together. I mean, that's the thing we want to do. We're very comfortable with each other. And Forsberg, I think you asked him the question, and he was like, I don't really know how to explain it, but it's almost like we never left. Like, we've always kind of felt like we have that chemistry. I do wonder, in these individual conversations that Hines had with Johansson and Forsberg and Arvidsson over the break, how much was discussed in terms of putting this line back together, making sure all three of them are comfortable, and maybe that ultimately making the ultimate difference in the production on the ice. I wonder how much that came up.
I think it I think it had to have come up with Johansson in particular. You know, and I think Johansson, we know Arvidsson's been banged up. I mean, Forsberg still had a good year. But Johansson, it was such a search for what is going on with him, and it's hard not to at least have that on the list of things.
Yeah.
Now, you could also say, well, you obviously have to think about balancing your lines, and you have to also say, look, whoever you're playing with, you got to play better, and that's true, but I don't think there's any secret that they want to play together, and now we see that it can be effective. There was a really good graphic on the broadcast yesterday on game, or was it, I guess it was minutes together, like, you know, 500 whatever the last 2 years and like 100 this year, which I actually – I mean, that even sounds high to me. I just, you know, I know here and there they've obviously been together, but you know, it was a really good day for the idea that they should be together. I think the only bad thing about the day for that line was the hit Arvidsson took, where for like a moment you're like, did he just get hurt again? But he got right back out there. Was that a dirty hit?
I don't think so. I mean, look, I know a lot of people, maybe the hit itself, like the action of it was dirty, but I don't think the guy went out there intending to. I mean, the kid we're talking about here, the guy that made the hit, I think it's Ty Dellandrea. He's a 20-year-old kid who's never played in an NHL game before. So I'm going to doubt that the 20-year-old kid playing in the game, and really, remember, only really playing in the game because Tyler Seguin didn't play.
Right.
I would doubt he's going out there trying to headhunt. It's just my guess. So I think he just got caught out of position, and sometimes when you're playing a fast game, knee-to-knee hits happen. Like, it just happens. So I was nervous. Like, Arvidsson he was rolling around there for a second and down on the ice, and I was like, oh, no. I think he had already scored twice at that point.
Yeah.
And you're just like, man, he's finally back to Victor Arvidsson, and then he takes a hit like that. Who knows whether or not he'll be okay now. He got up, and by the time he got to the bench, they zoomed in on him, and you could kind of tell that he was okay at that point. So I think most people breathed a sigh of relief at that point. But there was about a five-second span there where I was like, man, this is just not their year. they just got him back to full speed, and all of a sudden he takes a hit like that.
Yeah, and it still could swell or whatever. I mean, you never know, but it seems like a good sign that I think that was – the second period, so there was an intermission and then back out. That's a good sign. So, but I mean, Hines and Arvidsson after the game were both sort of like, they weren't outright saying it was dirty, but I don't think they loved it. Like,
no.
You're probably right that it wasn't a premeditated thing, but still, like, you can't, if you're out of position, you can't stick
your
knee
out
there, you know?
Like, I understand why you do it, because you don't want to get beat to the inside, because that's what Arvidsson's trying to do there. He's cutting across back to the inside, and if he beats him there, I mean, he's wide open in the slot. He's good chance of scoring anyway. So I understand why you do it. It's almost like a reflex kind of a thing, but you're going that fast, knee-to-knee hits, there's a reason that's a penalty. It's dangerous. I mean, there's not a whole lot of padding there. It can hurt very bad.
Yeah.
Trust me, I've had it happen.
Yeah, so, you know, it's these exhibitions, they obviously wanted to put teams together that maybe had a little bit of history, get the juices flowing a little bit, and ultimately the Preds come out unscathed. Actually, the Stars had another injury along with Seguin being
Cogliano.
Cogliano got, which he took, and I don't remember which Predators player, because I saw some Dallas fans tweeting that out. There was a hit, a little bit of a high cross check, but it was a leg injury.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, once you get into a rivalry situation like the Predators and Stars in now, like, every time somebody gets hit, the fans are going to they're going to have a problem with it. Like, when Arvidsson got hit yesterday, Predators fans are freaking out. Like, I understand why. I get it. Not every hit's a dirty hit.
Yeah.
It just, not every hit in a rivalry game's a dirty hit. It's just the way it is. I thought, actually, for two teams that we know kind of despise each other, I thought the behavior yesterday was pretty well-mannered for the most part. Like, they had like a pushing and shoving match every now and then, and when Dickinson popped Fabro, pretty high hit to that. I mean, I had much more of a problem with that hit than I did Arvidsson's hit.
Yeah.
Johansson comes in there, and I feel like he was probably about to start something before the referee stepped in there. But other than that, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot of liberties taken yesterday, I didn't think.
Yeah, and it's
And it is an exhibition game. So.
It is an exhibition, and it's both teams know, even though the stuff Dallas is going to be doing here is not that important. It's still, you're still playing for seeding, and you're trying to gear up. And, of course, the Preds, you got the playoffs starting Sunday. So it's like you can be chippy and get a little physical, block a lot of shots like the Preds did. That's a this game counts kind of behavior. Yeah. But still – You can't let something devolve here in a game like that and mess around with what's coming right up. And they didn't.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you think about it. Arvidsson takes that hit yesterday. Fabbro gets hit up high. Ekholm blocks a shot with, like, his hand, and they zoom in on the bench, and, like, his thumb on his left hand and his, you know, his pointer finger are just both bleeding, just oozing blood from the bench. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, look, this is, I guess hockey's back. This is hockey, man. But get out of here unscathed, please.
Yeah.
Because the real thing Sunday, I don't really care. You know, if you win this game against Dallas, get out on Sunday and make sure everybody can still skate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's – and that's – boy, I mean, that could be –
that looked very painful.
I mean, breaking skin and bleeding, fine. But, man, a hand – taking a puck in the hand, mm-hmm. that could be bad.
Yeah. Looked like he was okay. Like, Ekholm, I mean, he played – I'm sure he got, you know, bandaged, stitched up, whatever, and went back in there and played. But those pucks, man.
Yeah.
Breaking news, they're pretty hard. It's tough. You don't want to get in front of those too often. When we come back, we'll continue the Preds conversation. Also take your calls and your text, 615-737-1025 for your Preds reaction. That's coming up next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I would say I thought at times – you know, some of the puck decisions, you know, allowed them to be able to get out, come back at us. Some of our breakouts coming out of our zone under pressure, you know, where you're not just having to chip the puck out. If we have a little bit of time and space, or we know we have certain outs that we can make a play to then get back on the attack. I thought that those were probably the two biggest issues.
That was Predators coach John Hines yesterday talking about what the team needs to work on heading into their game against Arizona.
Talking about what needs to happen by the time he gets to Arizona Sunday. Right, Munson?
Wow.
Yeah. Public Enemy.
Wow.
Classic.
That is a classic Public Enemy song.
And album.
But obviously I couldn't play the words because...
No.
Yeah, sometimes you got to get those bumps in quick and get them out, right?
Yep. Got to get in and get out.
Cut them off.
That's why I'm like, go. I already set it up for you guys. Just talk.
Oh, man. It was kind of interesting that, like, I think it was you that asked him that question. I mean, you were all over the Zoom yesterday, man. Look at you.
You got a couple in.
I got a couple in there.
It was basically Vegas.
I didn't get a code name like you did, though.
Yeah, they called me, what, Joe?
I think so. Joe was asking the first question yesterday when I think Forsberg and Arvidsson were up there. And I guess the moderator called you Joe Rule or something like that. It was almost like Ja Rule.
I will stick with that. I will switch to that.
I'm not going to your festival, though, Joe. If you throw one in Nashville, let's just not go.
They figured it out later. Like, they got back to Rex Road a little bit later. But yeah, the first one definitely was not Rex Road.
She was in the neighborhood of Rex Road in the second one.
Yeah.
I thought we were gonna get Nick Barnowski moderating all of our press conferences. What's up with that?
I don't know.
Joe Rule. I'm outraged.
We should.
Joe Rule hosting Rex Fest.
Yes.
Here in Nashville.
Well, she said it, and like I was like, oh, okay. I wonder who that is. And then Rex Road starts talking. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, that's the thing. When she said that, I'm like, okay, well, that's someone else. But then when you do, if you're doing these press conferences, what happens is, and the NHL does them differently than like the NFL. The NFL, you type in a chat, I have a question for Mike Vrabel, or I have a question for whoever, you know, yesterday Ryan Tannehill and Logan Woodside talked. For the NHL, it's a raise hand thing. So
it's kind of cool.
I'm sure a lot of people listening have been doing some Zoom in the last few months. It's the most, like, prominent part of society that was not at all part of society as of, like, the beginning of March.
Really should have bought some stock in that.
Yeah. But the raise hand function, so then I was like, okay, well, whoever Joe Rule is, but it shows up on your screen that the host would like to unmute you. I'm like, oh, I guess that's me. Okay.
So are we now going to adopt a show policy where your new name is Joe Rule? Because I kind of love it. I'll be honest with you.
I don't hate it. It's better than a lot of nicknames I've had. So we could go with that. Yeah, I think it was just you, me, and Vingan, right, on this press conference? There were a couple.
There were a couple other ones, but yeah.
I guess national
Dave
writers.
Foster got on there at Fox 17.
That's right. Dave Foster did get a nice little question in there. That's right. Good job, Dave Foster.
And Stillman, of course. Stillman was firing away.
Oh, actually, no, now that you mention it. In fact, I was texting Stillman. Like, that was a stupid question. What are you doing? Stillman always tries to claim, like, he asks the best questions in Nashville media. I'm gonna actually find my text to him. I was like, "You call that a good question? That was, I don't remember."
You were relentless in your pressure of Stillman.
Well, look, if you're gonna sit here and claim, if you're gonna sit here and claim that you asked the best questions in Nashville media, then you have to have a better question than what was his question. All right, my text.
Well, he had
was,
a few of them.
Yeah, so he asked me, will they call on me? Will it unmute me? And I said, yes, it'll show you a thing that says that. And then he asked this question, and my text to him was, that's your bleeping question? and then I was like, yeah, I said, wasted question. Please take notes on how to ask good questions. Then we kept going back and forth. While the press conference is going on, you're having a text battle with Stillman. So sometimes you have different challenges that come up in these things.
Yes, sure. But you're a versatile man, Joe Rule. You're doing a great job over there.
Joe Rule, yeah. There's been some butcherings of my name, certainly on teleconferences over the years. You know, SEC or Big Ten teleconference or something. So. But that might be the coolest one.
Nobody really ever seems to have any trouble with Stanley. Like, it's just pretty straightforward at that point.
That's nice.
Now, I did it when I was a kid. Instead of, my name's Robbie Stanley, Robert Stanley.
Right.
Well, when I was five, I got a trophy for playing baseball. And the trophy said, Robest Starley. So I don't know how that came to be. I don't know if it was just this is back in the 90s, so there are some – there's no digital way to do this. The coach wrote our names down on a pen and pad, send it into the trophy place.
So the R
Robes Starley.
So the R that was supposed to be in Robert got to the last name.
Yeah.
But how did the S get into the first name?
Well, see, I don't know. But it's the coolest name I've ever had, and it's stuck with me for a lot of people ever since.
I mean, it is Robest Starley. And Starley.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. You still have that trophy?
Sure do. Sure do.
Everyone gets a trophy.
That's right. That's when it started. Late 90s, baby. Everybody gets a trophy. So it was interesting, like in that clip we just played of John Hines, when I think you were asking him what he didn't like. I think he had to think about it for a second. He was like, that's a good question.
Yeah,
came up with.
Well, no coach is going to be like.
I liked everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were perfect. But, yeah, he had to be. You could tell. He's pretty.
Pretty pleased.
Pretty pleased with the overall effort there. Again, like the blocking shots, I think in a lot of games this year, they've been on the wrong side of that ledger. Hits, block shots, and that sort of speaks to, is this team too finesse? Do they have enough grit? Yesterday was, along with some good skill, the kind of grit you've got to have in a postseason.
I was going to do our picks for the Arizona series in this segment, but I'm going to hold off until the end of the show. We're going to build up some suspense because I know which way I'm leaning. Yesterday's game for both the Predators and the Coyotes had very little to do with my predictions, to be honest with you. Like, I've kind of had this formulated for a while. We'll see what you think. Munson, do you want to be a part of these predictions? We will hold your feet to the fire as well.
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
I can do it. It gives me time to think about it.
Well, it's good to wait because we got Matt McConnell, Coyotes play-by-play announcer.
Yeah.
And
he'll change
our mind.
Yeah.
We also got Greg Wyshynski.
Yeah.
So maybe Greg will steer us in another direction. So we got some guests that can, play a part into what our decision is at 9:45.
Loaded show today, by the way. Got David Ubbin coming on from The Athletic at 7:30. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock, of course, talking Titans. Corey Brewer of the Sacramento Kings will join us at 8:30 live from inside the bubble in Orlando.
From
so
the bubble, and he's playing today.
Playing today against the Spurs.
That's nice of him to chat with us on a game day.
Absolutely. Good Portland boy.
Yeah.
He loves Portland. Was a dominant high school basketball. Oh, my goodness. He was so good.
He was always a guy people didn't talk about enough on those Florida teams.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was like Noah Horford, and they were obviously great. But, man, Corey Brewer was a huge part of those championships.
Absolutely. So, a loaded show coming up today. We're very much looking forward to that. But, obviously, the big story of the day is the Predators. And, Joe, one of the things I was thinking about last night, as I was watching kind of the first period or so of the Arizona game, Predators, I thought, played with pretty good pace yesterday in that game. And you're going to have to play with pace when you're going up against guys like Taylor Hall, Clayton Keller, Phil Kessel. I think there's still room for improvement from the Predators' standpoint in terms of getting to that pace and staying there. Remember, I mean, you know, you've been skating through training camp and you've been practicing against each other. I think there's still, from a conditioning standpoint, probably some ground to make up when you've been off for as long as they have. But the good news is everybody's on the same footing as regards to that. But I really liked the pace, especially early from what I saw from the Predators yesterday. That's, you're going to need that against Arizona, because I would say Arizona's a faster team than Dallas is. So I think you're going to need that pace throughout this series. I was encouraged by what I saw from that regard.
Do you think they ran out of gas some, or was it just that Dallas just decided to start playing?
I think it was a little bit of both. Look, it's your first game, and the scrimmage games help for sure. And from the sounds of it, everybody showed up to camp in pretty good condition, and that's, I think, been supported by the fact that, you know, knock on wood, you've gotten through training camp, and nobody's really had any of those, you know, groin issues or soft tissue issues that we see a lot of times early right on in camp, and in really all sports, football, hockey, especially these sports where you're having to cut and move around all the time, and there's a lot of contact. So I think that's a credit to the players that they showed up in pretty good shape. I don't think the conditioning's far off. Like some guys, like Roman Josi, he could play 35 minutes a night right now. I'm convinced of it. But I thought for the most part they held up well. Started to drag a little bit at the end of the third period. That's going to come as they get into kind of a routine here of playing games every other day, or in some cases,
back-to-back
days. So I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, what, Tuesday and Wednesday, right?
Yeah. How much of an impact do we think that's going to have? Like, yeah, back-to-back games in the playoffs hardly ever happen, but the travel is a big reason why they hardly ever happen. Obviously, no travel here. How big of a deal do we think back-to-back games are going to be?
I still think mostly that makes the goaltending thing interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe it won't be. I think that has got to be – like, you can't have a plan right now for that. You can probably have everything in your mind that you might do there, but you have to react to what you see in games one and two. But I do think that, especially you watch those guys yesterday, I think John Hines has got to feel pretty good about using them both if you want in that situation. And regardless of how they played yesterday or have been playing, feel good about then whatever you do in game four, if there is a game four.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be fine with it.
When we come back, there was an interesting idea tossed out there yesterday in the world of Major League Baseball. We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rule here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.